Right, I've written a special intro for this one.
You've written an intro, right?
Right, yeah. Considering, because I normally just say hello, but as we're doing the American football film Any Given Sunday, okay? Blue 42, cuts!
Fuck's sake,
yes.
Man.
Why did they do that?
Did you say Blue 32?
Blue 42.
Would have been 32. It would have been the exact episode wrong.
My God. Oof. Why do they do that?
It's only like a general, like it depends. It can be just a signal for one person to move along the line. Right. Or if you're reading the thing, like sometimes it's stamped their back foot. That means one player goes on motion. At the back.
Ah, so it's always a direction. And I take it that the colour they use is always going to be whatever colour they are.
No.
Or could they be talking about the opponent?
They talk about the opponent sometimes. Also, like that's just like a... Sometimes the blue 30 or the hut is just to snap the ball to him.
Aye.
But, like, it really changes. Sometimes they have to change it up every game because they would just learn the signals.
Aye.
You know, you can't just blue 32 and make the exact same play every...
Yeah.
Otherwise, people are like, great, I know exactly where everybody's going.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of this because you're NFL
specialist
and expert.
Well, I tell you one thing, the very, very start, when the quarterback gets injured, the cheerleader took a knee. In this film, which is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. The cheerleader went down in this film and went, we've just lost Dennis Quaid.
We're doing Any Given Sunday.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, we might as well do our pre-game chat.
Pre-game chat, yeah.
Yeah.
Locker room.
Now, you had something to tell us, because when you were sorting out the mics.
My mum was like, you were too loud in one episode and two thing. The levels were off in both your mics. And I was like, all right, Mary, I didn't know. And she goes, she listens to it sometimes randomly. She goes, play it. She has the Alexa. So she goes, play Absolute Cuts. And she's like, ah. She has it on when she's working. So she goes, I tune in and out. Sometimes I hear you chatting with someone stupid. And I was like, oh, this is great.
Oh, God.
I was like, we've said some horrific shit. She goes, I know, I love it. It's so funny.
But we said some horrific shit about your mum.
Yeah, she loves it.
I know she loves it. There's one thing your mum loves. It is it.
There you go. You just got slightly uncomfortable, then just doubled down.
Yeah, like, I know. I did.
No, it's great. she was like, I have to get on sometimes, but she's well behind half the time. And she's just like, I'm on. I just remember we were watching The Rock one day, and I was like, oh, fuck.
Aye, that's well early.
I was like, how fine? She goes, I think she randomly listens to them all over the place.
Right. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Fair dues to her.
Fair dues to them.
We've put the backdrop up again.
Yeah.
But we've doubled up on sellotape this time.
Doubled up on sellotape. And so slightly more to the right.
It shouldn't happen. Because I don't think the joke would be as funny the second time if it collapsed.
No, it won't be at all. It was barely funny the first time.
That's very, very true.
It's because I thought it was going to comically come down over me like a fucking mid bit.
Yeah.
But really, just slowly,
softly,
and too slowly.
Yeah.
And I don't even think the mics picked up the crackling that we were hearing. Like
No.
Which would have been funnier.
That would have. But generally all we heard was small, small bits of tape. Slowly coming away from a wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can see the lights coming from, like, before you get hit by a car.
What?
I've been hit by a lot of cars in my time.
Right.
I'm on seven, right?
Uh-huh.
But, like, a lot of times if it's at night, you'll see the lights. If it's coming from behind you and hits you from behind, you'll see the lights hitting, like, going past you.
Oh, right, okay.
So that was like that. You're like, oh, I'm about to get hit by a car. Because you can see the lights coming.
But then do you not jump out of the way?
Well, usually,
what do you think it was?
It's usually too late.
Two guys with a torch.
It's usually too late.
But why are they coming to hit you from behind?
I don't know. We hit and run. Most of mine were nearly all of them are low speed.
Uh-huh.
You know, like you rolled a bonnet.
But why have they hit you? You can't have been hit that amount of times by a hit and run.
No, it definitely wasn't. It was just either me stepping it or them doing something. A few of them are their fault. Most of them are mine.
So you step out in front of cars?
Yeah, all the time. It was a real bad thing about 10 years ago. Most of them were in like a very short period. I was about 5 of them were in a year.
Jesus Christ. What was the worst injury you got from?
Nothing, fuck all. Rolling over, like sore for weeks or whatever, maybe. Like sore shoulders or whatever.
Wow.
Mind you, I did go to the gym once, and the guy was just like, have you had some, you know when you do like the trial? If you join a gym, you go to a trial, and he was just like, have you had massive trauma on your left shoulder? And I was like, nah. And he goes, well, you have.
Yeah.
You say no. When was that from? And I was like, God, I have no idea. And then in my head, I was like, well, I have been in two big car crashes. I've been hit by seven cars. I'm generally reckless. It could have been a lot of places.
Fucking hell. If I talked about the time I knocked over a guy in this podcast, yeah.
Did you mention it when I told you Hugo Duncan ran over my dad?
I don't even remember Hugo Duncan.
He's a Northern Irish celebrity.
Well, if I have, apologies, but I imagine this is what... surely podcasts must get like this. Like, they have a Word Boys, Sloss and that, and Humphreys, and they must go... I don't know if we've ever told this story before.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're fucking 300 episodes deep.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. People always... I always do. I definitely do it all the time.
Aye. Like, yeah, there was a junkie guy that I ran over.
Yeah, what, is dead?
No, he's not dead. Well, he probably is now, but it wasn't by my hand or my bonnet.
by my wheels.
But I was just driving back and guy stepped out of the curb and I ran into him.
Did he roll or did he go under?
No, he rolled straight off.
That's the thing, you can't... Yeah, I used to always think, oh, sure, I would just jump.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
it would send me flying, but I'm not... And it would just more clean me rather than
hit
me. And then, like, but yeah, that doesn't really happen.
Aye.
You do roll. I think you do enough that you roll the bonnet. Like, yeah. I've never went under, obviously.
Aye.
I've went under every time.
Do you reckon... I wonder what... I remember... I was crossing the street in London once and a guy with a bike hit me and it hurt him a lot more than it hurt me.
Oh, Christ, yeah.
I think the speed that he was coming at, I mean, it was completely my fault. I was totally pissed and I was just crossing the road and he was bombing down and I just went for it and he crashed into me but went fucking flying. And I barely.
But well, that's if the masseuse from the last episode was anything to go by, you are exactly. The least flexible man.
Yeah, yeah.
Try
and run into me.
Yeah, yeah.
Cycling prick.
It was basically just when Hellboy steps in front of the train, just caves in around him or the lorry.
I'm quite obsessed with cycling stuff on Twitter.
Oh fuck me! Yeah, they get real.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It's just like, it's, do you know what I think it is, right? It's the one of those things where it's like white people trying to think a thing to be oppressed about.
Yeah.
Where they don't have it. They're looking at minorities and going like, I want a bit of this sweet. And then they're like, but we have nothing to complain about. Then you're just getting on air. Now you're getting on bicycles and going, like, there is clearly a lot of, because I've never been cleaned about 10 times on bikes. People do not care about you on bikes. But the shit I've seen from Jeremy Vine and that is
it's mental.
That filming, waiting. You're like waiting for someone to like make that a slight.
Ross Leslie.
Comedian
Ross Leslie. He had a thing. 2 years ago or something, it was just after Christmas, and he'd put up a tweet saying he was taking his Christmas tree to the
to the
dump. And he said, massive queue at the dump or the tip, just trying to drop off this cyclist I murdered, right? So, funny tweet. And then the cycling world, Jesus Christ, it was brutal. But one of them, people were reporting him to the police. There was one, right, because I went on and started defending him, right, and then one of my followers came on and went, well, if this is the kind of person you're defending, that's the last time we'll be buying tickets to see you. I was like, right, fair enough. And he was like, I cannot believe you're endorsing a man who is admitting to this crime. And I was like, do you honestly think he has gone on and said on Twitter that he's murdered someone? Are you this fucking stupid? But he's deadly, deadly serious.
That's insane, yeah.
But there was one of the repliers to him said that compared cyclists to minority groups that had been persecuted,
that's it.
Like black people
that's just it.
In America and like the Jews in 1930s Germany. And you're like, what?
Yeah. It really was. You ever walk through that? You know, I get the same feeling walking through Auschwitz as that I do getting through Yoon's cycles.
Yeah, exactly.
All
yeah.
These poor people.
Yeah. I know.
Fucking unbelievable that somebody would persecution.
No, everyone remembers Chris Hoy's I Have a Dream speech.
Fuck me. the most fucking, like, they lost, what, like 6 million people. The most cyclists lost was fucking Lance Armstrong's testicles. It's just not the same. We're persecuted like black people.
Oh, Jesus, I couldn't believe it.
Lynched because I walked past the fucking, I went through a green light.
My God.
Or turned right on it. That's insane, yes, cyclists.
Right, so this week's film, we've already said, it's Ryan's choice.
Yeah, we went American football this time.
American football. And now?
It is the only sport where Randy McQuaid...
Randy Quaid.
We're in a place where you'd like Dennis Quaid would be like an elite athlete.
Yeah,
you're like, that's the man.
I take it he's supposed to be
on the way out.
Aye, but is he? Because I read that his house in it is Dan Marino's house.
Okay, that's exactly probably.
So that's who he's supposed to be, like a Dan Marino, Brett Favre kind of.
Yeah. On the way out.
Aye,
a vet quarterback. Yeah.
Who's the most recent biggest quarterback again?
Tom Brady. Drew Brees was also a big, like, you know, he was playing when he was like.
Tom Brady, the guy that gets off with his son all the time.
Fucking dipping his tongue in.
Aye, that's weird. Isn't it
is like weird. That. It's very fucking weird.
But they really French kiss each other.
Have a good day at school. Good luck on your Holy Communion. Tonguing out his daughter. Fucking weirdo. Like. I saw him that he was doing this, like, golf. He's doing golf thing, and he got a hole-in-one, and he had this drone following the ball, and it looked class, right? And then some video guy went in and was like, that's been digitally edited just before that ball goes to the green. I'm like, Tom, like, what are you doing? Playing golf? 6 Super Bowls, and you're sitting playing golf?
Aye.
Faking a hole-in-one?
Is that how many Super Bowls he's won?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's good.
He's been in 9.
Wow.
He's lost 3 as well.
That's amazing.
So I used to wind up Patriots fans by saying, like, anytime I mention him, I'd be like, 3-time Super Bowl loser, Tom Brady. Nobody's ever lost more Super Bowls.
Did he win them all with the Patriots?
Yeah.
Jesus.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Why am I losing it there? Tampa Bay. He was in the final with Tampa Bay. No, he won one with Tampa Bay as well. I don't know why I had an absolute fucking brain fart there. Yeah, I mean, he fucked off. And then the Patriots... actual managers actually just fucking retired too. The big Bill Belichick.
Oh yeah, I know him.
So
yeah,
he's gone too. So the whole Patriots, their two big boys are done.
Just for anyone that isn't an NFL fan, these are the New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Postmen.
That'd be such a the Tampa Bay Postmen.
There's some shite because in this, so
they turned the Dolphins into Sharks.
They turned the Dolphins into Sharks. Some of the names are pish.
Yeah.
They're really shite.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The LA team are like the Cavaliers or some knight at the round table kind of shit.
Yeah, they made them slightly too comical.
Yeah.
I know Buccaneers, in fairness, of all teams, they are as comic as they get because they do have a big Buccaneer ship in the out the back. But nobody else is really.
But because I was reading that Oliver Stone wanted, like, the NFL wouldn't give him the rights to the Dolphins. But he wanted to do it in Miami, so he just turned them into Sharks. But the NFL were heavily involved in this film at the start,
and then
because they were like, because I can't think of many NFL films, because the 3 I can think of are this, Varsity Blues, and Remember the Titans.
I remember the Titans from fucking Varsity Blues.
Varsity Blues get James Vanderbeek, you know, from Dawson's Creek.
Yeah,
he's like the quarterback.
Right.
It's quite good, actually. But I can't think of many before that.
There's Remember the Titans. There was the Longest Yard remake.
Longest Yard, aye.
But that's still prison. It's not really professional. Aye. It's just the game around it. Yeah.
So
there's a lot of things like Draft Day and all, Kevin Costner and shit like that.
But, and Jerry Maguire as well, but that's not really... But so this, I think this is like the first, and I think Oliver Stone went to the NFL and went, I want to make a real film that shows what it's like to be in the NFL. And they were like, ah, fucking yes. And then he started doing this shit where, the medics are basically jacking these guys up so they can play through injury. They're ignoring the fact that this guy's had 19 concussions this season.
And then the NFL
went, we're going to take a wee step back here, Ollie, because...
Enjoy the Miami oysters.
Yeah, a bit too close to the bone.
they're all... Every year, there's like Chandler Jones, John Jones's brother, was one of the best players. Like, even now, he's currently like... shaving his head on Instagram every day and waving guns around. I'm like, he's gone as well.
Aye.
But with the concussions, you're just like, yeah.
But it is mental, because there's a bit where, because Dennis Quaid is like the quarterback.
Yeah.
And then they have a ridiculous, there's some things in this film that, there's a game where so much happens that hasn't happened through an entire season.
Yeah. Okay.
And it all happens in one game.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But the idea of, losing your star quarterback, right? Fair enough. He's aging, right?
That happens all the time.
He's been hit hard, right? To then lose your second quarterback in the very next play.
It's happened.
Is it fuck?
It's happened same quarters.
Aye, quarters, but not the next.
The next play is quite wild. That is pretty funny, yeah.
But then, so Dennis Quaid goes out by that, but then he's going to be back for the playoffs. The playoffs are the Pantheon Cup. Which the Super Bowl is basically the Pantheon Cup.
Yeah, they're not a good name.
But he basically goes to Pacino, who's the head coach, and says, look, because he's kind of hinting at, I can't play here. And then he sits down and he goes, I've got these really blank spots in my memory. I'm shaking. I can't hold a spoon anymore. And Pacino goes, I need you to play one more time. And you're like, what? The guy can barely function. He's got a family, for Christ's sake.
I can't hold a spoon. Well, I need you for the most physical of games.
And then when he manages to get through, he just comes up and goes, I'll never forget what you did.
No, by the way.
And then Quaid's like, Quaid's being loaded into a van, getting taken out home. His kids are fucking tatters because they've lost their dad. But she was like, I'll never forget what you did.
We're in the playoffs of the Pantheon Cup now. Fuck me. Do you know what the most ridiculous thing about this whole film was? The most unrealistic thing is the fact that nobody knew the third quarterback. They were all like,
yeah,
who's this guy?
Yeah, what's exactly his name? No.
That guy's like in the NFL, there's, if you're on that fucking, he's getting at least $1 million or like 700 grand around.
He's on a good wage.
And everyone fucking knows him. He has to take all the reps and training the same as the two starters. They were all like, but who's this guy?
Nobody knows him. Not even the team know him.
No, like, the team are like, who the fuck's this guy? Like,
as if he's not been hanging about. He's on the bench every time.
On the bench every time. In every training rep with the actual quarterback. So like, who the fuck's this guy? It would have made sense if they drafted him in. Like, there's emergency quarterbacks that have played season.
Cameron Diaz does that because she's like the owner of the team.
Yeah, yeah.
And she does that as soon as...
That's
Quaid gets injured.
Epstein Islands, Cameron.
To give her full title. She gets on the phone immediately once Quaid's injured and goes, I need to know what the status of quarterbacks, who's available, who's out. And
you that go, would have made more
right,
sense.
Fair enough. But then, obviously, she couldn't get him in. I think the thing is, they probably would have got a relief quarterback in and thrown money at it. But they can't get him in for that game. Jamie Foxx has to go in as the third quarterback, and then he has, by all accounts, an amazing game.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you say that's the most unrealistic thing.
Well, not yeah.
I reckon that's maybe third.
Okay.
And the top two are probably, in his first game, Jamie Foxx scoring a touchdown by doing a somersault over the entire defensive line.
Oh, like over the pack?
Yeah.
Happens quite a lot. Happen at least once a year.
Someone does a full somersault.
Because if you're talking about what, I can't remember the touchdown, but is it just that where they were all scrummaging right at the line, he runs and jumps over the top?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of the big
like things. A trapeze artist.
You don't need to somersault, but usually what happens is you somersault because you don't want to get hit head first. So hit your back and then you...
I fully accept that people would leap or they'd leap landing on their back.
Well, a lot of them do the front flip motion. Yeah.
I mean, you must admit, the way he does it is quite theatrical.
It is quite theatrical.
He lands on his feet.
There's loads. There's a great one from Jerome Simpson in the Bengals where he gets hit in midair and he finds himself and lands on his 2 feet and goes. I mean, it is possible.
Okay, I'll give you that. Right, okay, that's not unrealistic. Okay,
it is a bit unrealistic. They really hammed it up.
I think perhaps the most unrealistic bit is when a linebacker loses his eye.
Yeah.
On the pitch. Yeah. Right, the entire eye comes out of the socket with the wee trail bits.
Yeah, everything, so a bit of his brain out too.
sits on the AstroTurf, and then they bag it up.
Yeah,
they walk the cunt off with no eye, and Oliver Stone zooms in on the eye, just sitting there on the pitch.
The whole entrails, optic nerves.
No one's fainted. They just get on with the game. You'd be like, right, the game's getting stopped.
What are you talking about?
If someone loses an eye.
Nah. No.
Fuck off. If someone's eye comes out of their socket.
So 2 years ago, we all thought someone lost their eye. They didn't. What happened was it got cut and it ripped the whole socket out there, but the eye stayed in, right? And everybody thought, oh, he's lost his eye on the thing, and they wouldn't show it because they thought that had happened, right?
Right.
But no, the play, you just carry him away. What are you talking about? Someone nearly died in the field. The only time that the thing was the guy that had the heart attack last year on the field. They stopped it then.
Right.
Because there's too many people crying. But a serious injury with that? No. People have went straight to the hospital with broken spines and play on.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it takes a lot. Now, the heart attack one, they played on recently in a heart attack kind of situation. A person went down. But that Damir Hanlon, the Bills dude, he had basically a heart attack, fainted, and they all thought he was literally dead. They turned it off. And then they sat around for an hour going like, right, are we making this happening? They just basically asked the coach eventually, like, are you in a state to play? And he was like, no. And they went, all right. And then they didn't. They called that off. I was raging because I...
Jesus. It's a ruthless world, the old NFL, isn't it? Like,
no, they definitely... I guarantee you that eye thing, there's no way that game wouldn't continue on. A broken eye. Definitely not an eye. They barely did it with a guy that they thought had died.
What if somebody stepped on the eye?
Oh, that'd be... Yeah. Squelch. But I mean, yeah. there's horrific NFL injuries, but that's a blind one, like... I remember a couple of years ago, someone in Miami too, actually, they thought lost an eye, but no, he didn't. But we all thought he had, and they played on.
Jesus Christ.
It's still completely unrealistic. If you lost an eye, you'd burst an eye in your eye or whatever. Not pulled the entire entrails, the optic nerve, and it's lying on the end zone. And the guy's like, my eye! That's ridiculous.
Are NFL players as wild as it makes out in this film?
Yeah.
Because they're coked up a lot in this film.
Yeah, well, loads of them are always fine, but it's usually just unspecified. Most of the time it's weed they get.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I presume they are. I don't really know. It's like saying do footballers, and you're like, obviously.
But do they train every day, NFL players?
Actually, no, not every day. They come in usually, you know, practice report on like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and maybe then fly for the Sunday.
I don't imagine they would because they don't.
There's only so much you can do because you don't want to hurt each other.
It's not that difficult a game either.
Well, you just have to learn the stuff.
You only play for like, I reckon, 4 or 5 minutes, full game.
No, I mean, that's...
Was it stopping and starting?
It was stopping and starting. No, it would be still an hour if you're a starter. You'd still be playing.
No,
it's still stop, start.
It's not an hour because you only play half of that, don't you? So
no, well, the stoppages, you still have to have the ball. The clock stops when it's, you know, so like with the stoppages, the clock stops.
I reckon a quarterback plays about 18 minutes.
You're full of fucking nonsense there.
It's not, I mean, it's not a difficult.
Yeah,
not a physically taxing sport is what I'm saying.
You don't think the NFL is a physically taxing
sport? I think it's brutal and it's dangerous, but it's not, you don't really need to be that fit.
Depends where you play.
Because you're not running. Right, the wide receivers, right, I'll give you them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the cornerbacks are more fit. The linebackers are a bit more
fit. Quarterback isn't fit. Quarterback has to run.
No, corner.
Oh, a corner, right.
Cornerbacks.
Okay.
Quarterbacks, depends what you are. If you're a running quarterback, you do. But nah, not Dennis Quaid, anyway.
Nah.
There's the old-fashioned gunslinger, so they're protected. Like, they're only getting losing thing if they get smacked.
Aye.
It really depends where you're playing. Like, offensive tackle, you don't have to be fit, but you have to be strong and have to be able to block the thing. Yeah. Linebackers are... Elite linebackers are outrageous. Yeah. Their fitness is... Because they're... running sideways and thing and darting and they have to do a lot. But like, some of them you're just like, no. Some of them like massive guys can jump out of pools, you know, even though they're like 300, 400 pounds, they can jump out of pools.
Because these, I mean, these lads are on
they're all roided.
The party they have where...
Oh, aye.
Basically, there's just hookers everywhere. And LL Cool J and his pal are just in...
Yeah.
Just fucking coked out their minds. Like,
his second best part, LL Cool J.
But what's his best?
Is that like
Deep Blue Sea? Aye.
Yeah, the parties were... That was quite a party. I presume so. Like, I don't really know.
The party, the big dude saw his... Jamie Foxx's car in half, for Christ's sake. It's a hell of a party.
It is. There's always the tragedies in the NFL are always wild. Like 2 years ago was that Raiders dude, the young receiver, one of the best receivers in the league. He got hammered. He crashed the car and the car caught fire and he got out of the fire. But the car he hit was like a woman and her dog or something. And she was just burning alive and he just sat there watching it.
Jesus Christ.
He just sat down in the path and was like... He's in jail now for murder.
You know, I think I forgot to tell you, actually, this, you've just reminded me with the car crash there. I totally forgot to tell you this in the Magnificent Seven episode. You know how Steve McQueen got the part for it?
How?
So he'd already been signed up. He was already doing a Western TV series, and the TV series weren't going to stop his contract so he could do the Magnificent Seven. So he basically put himself in a car crash with his girlfriend, basically went, I'm going to crash the car, but not too bad. So he was in a car crash, so that during his recuperation period, he went and filmed The Magnificent Seven.
That's such a
purposefully crashed his
what
car.
What a mad cunt. How do you get away with that? There is a lot of stuff here. First of all, remember the quarterback puked when he came on?
Yeah,
you'd retire. You'd be like, that would be a disaster. That then
becomes his thing. Yeah, like, people are then cheering because it'll come up on the big screen him throwing up into a bucket, and they'll go, "Yo, fucking Oliver Story plays one of the commentators." Right. Goes, "Uh-oh, San Francisco are in trouble now," because he's puking.
Can I just the name as well? It's so bad for a quarterback.
Willie Beeman. Steaming Beeman? That's
Steaming Willie Beeman, wasn't it?
Steaming Willie Beeman.
Do you remember Randy Beeman?
No.
Remember Randy Beeman using the Animaniacs? He was the little dude that ran out of the house.
Goes,
I'm Randy Beeman. I was like, that's all I thought of.
I laughed when it was Steeman. Because obviously Steeman in Scotland means absolutely guttered. I'm Steaming Willie Beeman.
And also he says it to them in the party.
See that?
Nobody would ever say that.
The song. My name is Willie.
Oh, God.
Willie Beeman. I got the ladies creaming. My Cadillac is gleaming.
Fuck's sake. Yeah. That was as close to the John Barnes word.
My name is Willie. Willie Beeman.
Do you know the worst thing is Jamie Foxx is a really like a Grammy winning hip hop artist.
I know.
You think he would have went, like, I'll whip up something a little bit.
I know. But also, right,
I'll whip up something like
how right, so they are what, 3 games away from the playoffs?
Yeah.
Right? So they're close to the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right? So he comes in 3 games away, right?
Week 15. Quaid
is coming back for the playoffs.
So he's only out.
So at most, Willie Beeman is getting 3 games.
Yeah.
How the fuck does he play 3 games and suddenly has a chart hit? What kind of world is this where he's like 3 games and suddenly he's the best, he's the most recognisable player in the league?
Like, I mean, there's a lot of... stories like that always happen. Backup quarterbacks play well, but no, not like franchise deals straight off the bat. They're like, right, oh, that's good. He'll get another go next year, and then we'll see.
Yeah.
Not like straight away. Like,
yeah.
Well, we found the new Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's so much. Like, also, I was going to ask you. See the game they play where it's because I thought it's been years since I saw this film.
Mm.
And I didn't enjoy it as much as I did the first time.
Okay, I did enjoy it.
And I'll explain why.
But there was a lot of shite in it.
And I forgot, there's a scene where it's raining. I mean, it's biblically raining and there's mud. And I thought, oh, this is just going to be a montage of them training. And then you go, it's an actual game. And they're running through what is basically the fucking Somme. And I'm like, there's no way that game would go ahead. You can barely see the lines of scrimmage.
You're insane. That would absolutely, that has happened.
But you can't see the lines.
You couldn't see the lines and you can't see the lines in the snow games. They have to put the little pillars at the very edges of the, like they put up like little tiny cones essentially.
How are they counting the yards in that? I mean, this is torrential rain. I said, there's mud. Absolutely. There's
did you not
puddles.
See the game this weekend that was, they had to cancel, they had to fucking cancel the game because like the entire stadium was full.
In Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even clear the stage. The stands. Like, yeah, it was nowhere near as bad. Like, the pitch was fine, but no, I've seen worse. I've seen, the pitch would have been torn up way more. Because I mean, that means that somebody must have been on that shit like last week. Like a lot of them bloody stadiums now to avoid them torrential downpour games because then it just becomes running backs splashing about.
Yeah. I mean, it looked cool on film, but...
Yeah, no, it's hard to get them now because a lot of the pitches are fake and a lot of them now just dome the whole stadium because they couldn't...
Yeah,
no, definitely. That game would have went ahead as well.
The reason I didn't like it as much...
Yeah.
I forgot a lot of the Oliver Stone mental shit.
He's always done, like, I love his films, but he is really capable of,
I mean,
to over dramatizing shit.
I am assuming Oliver Stone is coked out of his mind most of the time.
Yeah, maybe.
Because the film starts with, like, a load of guys playing football in the clouds.
Oh, aye.
Right? And then at the start, he starts getting every single time. The defense are like growling, but like lions. They're like roaring, right? But the one scene, and that didn't piss me off because I was like, this is just stylish, right? The scene where Willie Beeman goes over to Pacino's house to have dinner with him, and Pacino's watching Ben Hur.
Yeah.
And they're having the argument over Pacino saying that Willie Beeman, not going to get sick of this. He doesn't respect the game and he's changing the plays and he's the quarterback and he needs to have the team trusting him and stuff. And he comes back and he starts telling him about how he gets shit and he's been given shit his entire life and never all this kind of stuff. He doesn't just let that run. He intersperses it with cuts of Ben Hur.
It's the most distracting
thing in the world.
I don't know what he was trying to do.
What point are you trying to make here?
Yeah.
Like, I get that you're going, these guys are the gladiators of our time.
Yeah, but...
But you're really forcing it down my throat here, Stone.
Yeah. Fuck's sake. He is very fucking dramatic like that. That was... What else did he say in that conversation? Was it basically, your man's coming back, was it?
I told him that he was going to start with Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy Fox starts bringing up the fact that he's... The fact that black, because I imagine at this stage, black quarterbacks wouldn't be...
Not as much, definitely, I would say. No. Michael Vick, was back in the... Yeah, maybe, actually. But anyway, when was it, 2000?
That's in the 90s. This is about 99, maybe, this film.
Yeah, well, probably definitely not as much as now, you know. Again, everything is slightly realistic, but also slightly hammed up. You know, like, as you're saying, the front flip, people do front flip in the end zone, but not like a fucking gymnast that lands and goes perfect dismount. You know, there's one famous one, but that was only a refixing or whatever. The weather can be really bad. The eye would definitely play on. The weather would probably play on. They really play on unless it's a travel nightmare rather than a pitch nightmare.
Aye.
Do you know the Dallas Sniper? Sorry, my nose is playing up. See, they have a sniper in their stadium.
Yeah.
The little bird nest.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't fucking rip one off into the quarterback there the last day when they tanked out.
Do you hear who appears at the end? Big Charlton Heston.
What?
Charlton Heston appears at the end. Do you know how Cameron Diaz... I think Cameron Diaz fucking class in this film.
It's a change-up. They made her like a bat. You know, she rarely plays a wanker.
This was like proper hot Cameron Diaz. Like, this is...
The mask
Cameron Diaz. Like, I forgot how good looking Cameron Diaz actually is.
Yeah.
Until you see this and you go, Jesus Christ. In the 90s, she was untouchable.
Not now. Hanging about in that island.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
we've already discovered, but while she was in the documents, but I'm just with this guy.
She's
frigging off Stephen Hawking.
There's something about Stephen. Yeah, he's considerable palsy. That's the something.
He didn't even have palsy. He just come so much he was shriveled up.
So I couldn't walk.
He's been coming so hard that the man's lost all bodily functions.
Why is his arm hooked over like that? He's wanking. He has wanked himself a claw.
I'll tell you the best thing about Stephen Hawking and Epstein, and he's reopened. Like, you're like, all right, that's probably not on now. No, he's just reopened the world. Like, oh, you know what? You can't fucking take it.
Oh, aye.
Yeah, fuck him.
She's like doing the classic owner thing of trying to blackmail the mayor
to
build him a new stadium by going, oh, I'm going to take the franchise to LA.
Yeah.
And then, she's the owner. So she's the general manager, sorry.
Yes.
But then there's owners above that.
Yeah.
And that's Charlton Heston at the end.
Yes. I remember this now. Yeah.
See, this is what I don't. This is why
that very end scene was not needed and kind of pointless. The fact that he went to the Albuquerque, whatever, and he goes, and Willie Beeman's with me. And I'm like, well, not Willie, he'd be tied down to you.
That would never happen, surely.
Not unless he ran out of contract. But even at that situation, it would never be a secret like that.
Yeah.
And Willie Beeman's coming with me. That would never happen. If I went into like the fucking. Whoever, like, I was in Kansas City today, and I'm like, Andy Reid, their coach, got fucking his thing. He's like, well, I've just taken a job with LA Chargers, and guess who's coming with me? The star, Patrick Mahomes, and everybody would be like, never.
See, this is why I can never get fully on board with American football, is the franchise thing.
It is, yes, it's not cool.
I don't like it.
It's stupid. It is. It's really funny.
I take it there are teams that would never, ever move. Like,
loads of them.
Like the Patriots would never go to anywhere other than
England.
You'd like
to say pretty much most of them now would never move. Like Chicago Bears wouldn't move. Steelers wouldn't move. There's a load. There seems to be like four or five. Like the Chargers, maybe like teams like the Lions, the Jacksonville. They're on the edge of either have moved or could move again, you know.
Where are the Jets now?
They're in New York.
New York. So
but they are a Jersey kind of team most of the time.
I was
going to
say New Jersey. So the Giants have always been New York.
Yeah, two New Yorks, yeah.
What are the Redskins called now?
They're called the Commanders.
The Commanders?
Washington Commanders. Yeah, it's not.
It's not the same, is it?
No. We're just like, just put it. There was Washington football team for 2 years.
Oh, really?
So it was Washington football team while they made up one, and then they came to a command. There was fucking goddamn airplanes that fought in the war called the Washington Red Tails. That would have been such a better one than Commanders.
Yeah, what would have been
Redskins. Nice. Just change the Red Tails.
Aye.
Do your fucking American.
I mean, they didn't help themselves with a helmet.
Didn't
like
help
like having an actual Native American on the helmet was taking the piss.
Well, do you know what's funny? Nobody's saying anything about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, God.
They're all fucking literally a thing. Their entire walk-in's like, oh, and I'm like, how's this? Like, slipped under the fucking... If I was in the Redskins, I'd be like, hey, well, there's another fucking team quite in us, you know? Fuck's sake.
The New Mexico wetbacks.
Yeah, that's what they're changing. They're making it worse. The Washington. No. And the, I don't know. Washington Wops?
Some of them
No!
Some of them don't make any sense. Why are the Seattle the Seahawks?
I don't know.
Is that a native bird? Seattle?
I don't know. I don't fucking know. There's a lot of bird ones. Falcons and fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah. Dolphin is a weird one when you think about it. Like, Sharks was actually better.
Nah, because it's Miami all have dolphins in their bays.
Well, Sharks too.
Yeah. Chicago has bears roaming the place.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has guys build buildings. 49ers? Don't know what that's about.
I don't know what the 49ers. That's a good point, actually.
Don't know.
And the Green Bay Fudge Packers.
The Green Bay Fudge Packers. The cheeseheads. Americans are real bad at just naming and swearing, like naming things.
Yeah.
What were the cheeseheads? You're like,
who's the cheeseheads?
They like Packers would wear cheese things on their heads too and call themselves cheeseheads. And you're just like Jesus Christ. That's cringe. That's what puts people off more than
see when you go to the NFL when you've been down to the NFL games in London. You must look about and go, these fucking people are wanks.
It is. It's a lot of people that look exactly like me.
Yeah.
They're never athletes. Not a single athletic person watches that.
But it's not an athletic sport. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's
pure nerds.
So I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
What was that thing? Remember you and Waugh did a Super Bowl? Did you not have to make an appearance at a Super Bowl party?
Oh, like I've done... Yeah, I've done them before, yeah. Yes, yeah.
Sorry. Did you not have to do something mental at it?
Oh, God, yeah. That was for the Edinburgh Wolves.
Yeah.
They were doing like a... They ever got so hammered and it was like half time they were going to do the show and they were like, let's do a big fucking whatever raffle.
Right.
And they were like, we've only got like 10 minutes because then everyone wants to watch the halftime party. So
yeah, of course.
So we were like, we'll do it. They were like, we'll just do it because you sort of used to be on stage. So me and Wall went up and me and Wall were just so ruthless. So we were just hitting people, like hit and run, just insults while you're doing it. Like, look at this bald cunt, want a bottle of whiskey? And the guy just takes the whiskey and kind of looks at you. And then by the time that's finished, Wall's already announcing the next person. We're doing like number 66. Oh, look at this. By the time the person's walk up to keep it going, I was doing the next person. Right? Well, you fucking needed that. Hopefully it's toothbrushes in here. The guy's like, what?
69, something you'll never have, you ugly bastard.
Something you don't even want. Look at the state of her. You're like, what are these people doing? That was good crack. I've got things here like, I had Randy Beeman and that Dallas Sniper.
You had who?
Randy Beeman.
Willie Beeman. Do you know who was supposed to play Willie? Willie Beeman.
Will Smith.
Will Smith was a link to it, but Puff Daddy was the original Willie Beeman.
Okay, I would like to have seen that.
But then they started filming, and he couldn't throw for shit. Like he couldn't even pretend because there was real football players playing in the games because it was proper realistic, the football scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
So obviously Jamie Foxx would have to throw the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wouldn't have to throw it. They wouldn't follow the ball's trajectory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Puff Daddy couldn't even act throwing the fucking ball.
Remember the young girl trying to bang him? Al Pacino.
Yeah. Oh God.
That was weird.
Pacino's a weird character in this.
Aye. I found that was fucking weird.
He's just with hookers the whole time. Yeah. Like that's all he.
There's no redemption arc in him either.
Because I thought I'd forgot this bit as well when he's with the woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're watching the TV. They're watching the interview on the TV, and he says, I better see you some more. And then she says, no. And then it slowly dawns that she's a hooker as well. And you're like, Jesus Christ, Pacino, this is...
And he's still there.
This is bad, and man. He's still in
I just love the fact as well. You know what? When you're talking about the fucking, you know, the owners and everything, I just realized, I don't know if this ever happened, but I'm just like, why do you have binoculars?
Yeah.
In the NFL stadium, there's screens everywhere. You know, they're all sitting up there.
Like that's a good point.
Like it's fucking horse racing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A mighty fine throw there. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
There's some amazing people in this.
Yeah, there's a lot of big actors all scattered.
Aaron Eckhart's offensive coach.
Yeah.
He's fucking class. Matthew Modine's the other doctor.
Yeah.
James Woods
James Woods.
Just the most unscrupulous doctor. What I love about it is the way they make... The way that Oliver Stone shows that clearly this guy's dodgy is that he's constantly chatting up cheerleaders. Every single... There's fucking Quaid's collapsing in the pitch and he's over there fingering a cheerleader.
Oh, who was it? Did he say that to Al Pacino? Or who got said to, what do you do for Dick? Do you remember?
No.
So she says to Al Pacino, some old person, I've just even got a thing here, says to a 90-year-old, someone just said, what do you do for Dick? I remember that. I was just sitting in the film and I was like, ugh, what do you do for Dick? Are you down to the fucking farmer's market? You fucking filthy bastard.
There's a scene in this where Cameron Diaz enters the changing rooms.
Oh, hey, wangs out.
Honours of dicks. There's one guy's fucking, it's ridiculous.
Tanking about.
It's just that big, huge dong. Just flapping.
So he was just like...
You're just like, Jesus.
Do you reckon when they were filming that scene, they were like, right, we're all going to... I'm afraid there's going to be some news here and take off. And one guy's like... my time.
Yes.
My career is about to take a big uptick. This is good.
Just one extra.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been in loads of stuff. Yeah. Period dramas and stuff. Oh, fucking, I'm never going to be able to get it out here.
Here we go. That was Batman, Barry.
Oh, fuck, I'm never going
to. That's what Barry Keoghan was trying to do too. Isn't he trying to give him a dickhead? I love the fact as well, he became a starting quarterback and immediately started treating women like shit.
He turns into a piece of shit almost immediately.
Like immediately, 3 weeks.
Wait, the girl he's been with.
So nice.
Since college, for years. And then he just turns aggressive after one start.
Aye,
you're like, what? Not even a start? He plays half the game?
Aye. He's like, I can't be fucking dealing with your shit anymore.
Half the game, and he comes home and goes, get the fuck out.
Because Willie's steaming.
steaming Willie Beeman.
He's about to ride out of here. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. That's right, the dude. That's right. You stand next to Cameron Diaz with his cock out. I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's...
Imagine he came in and he just arrested her. What are you doing? That's what we're having these days. Also, sorry, how the fuck did the guy get a baby alligator?
Oh, God, yes! Yeah, God, I completely forgot.
So I don't want your... It kind of was like, they didn't say it. They wanted to... I reckon the first draft of that was they were racist white people. You know, like, they were like, well, we're not getting into that. They were kind of like hillbillies, mm-hmm. metalheads,
yeah.
You know, and then they were just like, no, we're not going to listen to your black music. Let's turn up our metal music.
Aye.
And I was like, I think they were going to do that, and then they kind of held back a bit. But then he pulls an alligator.
But it's fucking... Also, where's the alligator? Has the alligator been in his locker the whole time? So he's brought it back in with the... And how many... Again, like you're saying about the guy that's getting his dick out. Yeah. How long has he waited to produce the alligator? 3 seasons worth.
Do you think the kit man will?
The alligator started that size.
The kit man cleaning up while they're all on the pitch. He opens up the locker.
Breaking news.
The kit man.
Miami Sharks lose yet another kit man. The 15th this month.
The baby alligators.
Mauled to death.
Oh. Oh, fucking hell.
God.
My name is Willie.
Will it be, man?
He tried to talk. Remember, by the way, you're talking about the old woman, or the woman, the prostitute, Al Pacino. The most harrowing scene was when he tried to talk her out of paying her.
Yeah.
He's like, well, you know, I've paid you enough now. Surely we're in love. Kind of. And she was like, oh, no, sweetie. Yeah, I need your check.
He pays with a check.
It's all a nightmare. She'd be like, no, I'm not going to do this purely because I have to walk to the bank to get this done. Check bounces as well. Checks are bouncing. There's going to be somebody out there just writing dodgy checks to all these high-class prostitutes. I'd bounce. Can't find me. Fucking unbelievable.
Do you reckon Pacino's speech is the best
speech in any sports film?
You
know what? I remember it being slightly better. I was sitting there cringing a bit. But it was good. It is good.
It is a good... The inch by inch... I think it gets good halfway through it. When he starts actually talking about
Bernie Sanders.
Football.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When he actually starts going, if you want to get somewhere, this is what football's all about. You take inch by inch, and the guy next to you needs to know that you're going to support him and all that. That's when it gets good. When he starts and just starts moaning about his life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't know what to say. I pissed away my life.
Yeah.
I'm fucking hookers every night. My dick ain't been hard for 30 goddamn years.
I was like, is this, okay, are we doing slant right? Is this a running back play? My children.
Oh. Pacino, man.
Ah, that's my only Pacino. I can only go.
Oh.
Jimmy Frox did a good Pacino impression in the middle of it.
Does he?
Can he mocks him a wee bit and goes, oh, and I was like, that's hilarious. That'd be great if that was improvised.
Drew does an amazing Pacino impression. Kevin Spacey.
Is he?
There's a great clip if you get a chance to watch it. I think it's him, Pacino and Spacey on Letterman.
And he is on the island.
Letterman. There's not a chance David Letterman's not been to that island either.
They're still combing that beard.
But he does an amazing thing where there's another thing where he shows you how you should be able to do a Pacino impression, and it's something like, you never sit still, so you're constantly looking for something. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. And then he's always asking a question. Oh, where is it? Where is it?
That's so good. Do you know it was fucked up? And I guess the most racist part of this film, and they tried to make it not racist, was the fact when he was trying to get Willie Beeman to calm down. Just imagine you're back in the projects.
I know.
What? Just imagine you're in a KFC, Willie. Somewhere where you feel at home. And you're just like, what the fuck are you saying? Back out in the cotton fields. You used to run. Just like... Imagine he says projects.
Your mama's calling you for like...
Your mom's calling you a chicken again. Like, he's just looking at me like, you, this is racist. This is so fucked up. But that is what I imagine you're back in the projects.
Do you know, you, as a football...
And when he does say, don't talk to me as well. Don't you talk to me like that. I'm Stephen Willie Beeman. That's not a good thing.
No.
You would lose everything.
No. Do you know all the famous people are in this film?
Like what?
So apparently all the other coaches... of the teams they play are all like Hall of Fame.
Oh, are they?
So
never.
Johnny Unitas.
Oh, is he on it? I know all the names, he's but one I don't of know them. Their faces.
I don't know. Surely Vince Lombardi. Is it Vince Lombardi? Vince Lombardi, he wouldn't be in it.
He's quite old on these. Too long ago. Do you know, that would make sense. You know, I just don't know their faces. I don't even know half, because not the coaches are actually... I'm better with half the time. I love players, and I'm like, oh, is that what he looks like? We're in helmets.
Second last coach, Dick Butkus.
Is that him?
Dick
Butkus. What a name!
The best name ever. The
Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Dick Butkus.
I use it in the other one. I'm doing fake names because people are like, yeah, fake. And I'm like, oh, it's absolutely
Dick Butkus.
Oh. Can't beat that. You can't beat that.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
All right, we're still a wee bit left very shortly. I just have stuff. Dennis Quaid's wife is another psychopath. Al Pacino was trying to get her on the pitch.
Yeah.
He's like, I just, you know, I'm done. I'm certain. And the kids were in a mansion. This isn't who you are, you fucking pussy.
Again, I know he tries to say to her, look, I can't hold a spoon. He's actually, standing there with the spoon going, look, I keep dropping spoons.
Who's going to be feeding and jerking you off in the future? Get out there, you little bit.
Fuck if you can't hold a spoon. You don't need to hold a spoon to throw a pass, do you? Piece of shit. You'll be eating through a fucking spoon in a minute.
You're eating through. Don't talk to me like that. Stephen Willie Beeman, don't you ever say that to me. I'm rootin' tootin' Johnny. It sounded like they were in the Magnificent Seven. I feel like it would be more Johnny Fast Fingers. You know, you'd be like, alright, I can get it in that. Lovey had to do a public apology to a journalist as well.
It's a guy for Scrubs.
Oh, aye. Our second John C. Reilly. John C. McGinley film.
He's in The Rock, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is. If you don't know, if you follow the Instagram, you know, we have like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
we follow... I try and keep up and follow one person each film. We are following a John C. McGinley...
Fan page.
He's got a podcast called like Connected to a Chew or something.
Yeah.
With John C. McGinley. Never listened to it, but... I get a lot of... He's pushing it hard. Oh, God. What else do
see
I have
here?
I do... It's a real proper movie is the way I describe it. Do you know what I'm... Like, it's proper blockbustery them type of days.
Yeah.
Hammed up, like, over there. I don't think it would... If it's made now, they'd either make it too realistic or too... You know, they'll make it too much about the brain damage. This was more like, this gun's going to get brain damage, but they stayed on it. Not like Concussion with Will Smith, where it's just kind of looking at charts about it. I'm like,
I know what you mean. Yeah. I thought the best character was Woods for me, Lex.
But
just so...
Who was, sorry?
James Woods.
Oh, so...
Just so
him.
Fucking sleazy.
Yeah.
And just like, literally not giving a shit. The fact that he switched... X-rays,
to mask
the fact that the guy was on his last legs.
The guy, the guy, the player as well.
The big huge defensive lad.
Oh, he disabled himself for $1 million.
They make him sign a waiver that says, if you become brain damaged, it's nothing to do with the club. What the fuck, man?
Put him back in. Now, Tua Tagovailoa, the current Miami Dolphins quarterback, had three serious concussions, like really badly last year. And they were like, you probably have to retire. He is back and played all this year.
Wow.
Like, that is pretty much what that thing. So that happens still. And as much as they pretend, I know they can't pull that guy out and go like, you can't play anymore. Yeah. He's only played 1 year, 2 years.
But that must, like.
That will kill it. Like, he is going to be a vegetable. Like, most of them are vegetables that are taken serious. Two of his were. Serious. He was on the ground with fingers crumped. He's Stephen Hawking.
Jesus.
Like he just combed a bucket.
Because this must have been, I mean, no wonder the NFL shit themselves at this film, because it must have shone a light on.
Yeah, it must have been one of the first to show the light on it.
Especially the folk that, see how there's like, LL Cool J especially is chasing the money. So it never seems like he's a team player either. He's not for the team because he goes to Pacino and says, look, fucking Steeman Willie Beeman has never thrown it to me, or he's never a running back,
and he
says I only need to make another
that happens all
like
time.
20 yards till I get this bonus.
It happens all the time,
and he's like going, you got to tell this fucking guy because I need to make my bonus.
Yeah,
and it seems to be, and that's the same dude that's got the concussion. He's like, I need to. He's one sack away
from like
$1 million bonus.
Yeah.
So do they get those bonuses in their contracts that are, if you cover this amount of yards?
Yeah, yeah. So you get it every, it's why week 18, the last regular season game, that's usually when they all start coming in. Uh-huh. So you see people, you don't really get it. Sometimes like you do a long ball and a tight end catches it and he gets up and he's like, all right, calm down. You're losing 29. They go, well, that's David Njoku. He's just earned another $2 million on his bonus. So they do have certain incentives as well. But I mean, like in the situation of that, I feel like the club would just be like, no, one sack, Ellen. But for safety, I feel like the club would be like, you're not playing and we'll give you the $1 million.
Aye.
I don't think that happens, but never heard of it happen. But I feel like in that situation, you're about to die. We can't pull you out and see where I'll be like, you're not playing. We'll give you $1 million.
Aye.
Trusted servant.
Aye. Who's the highest paid NFL star now?
See, it's hard to gauge because some of them get their money shifted onwards. So like Patrick Mahomes. Signed like a $500 million deal, but his is spread out over 10 years and it's kind of like pushed, you know, like Chelsea is starting to do things. Guaranteed money is a big one. So as much as it's not the highest thing, like Deshaun Watson, the rape he did in real life, he got signed and his is like $300 million up front.
That happened to a dude.
They're guaranteed, aren't they?
A recent dude in... Baseball.
It's the same dude. It's Todd Boehly.
Really?
He owns Chelsea and that club.
Is it Dodgers?
Yeah, I think it's the Dodgers. Yeah. Aye,
but they signed this dude.
Ohtani.
But the way he's being paid is he has something like $300 million, but he's only going to get like $2 million worth of it because of tax laws. So he'll get like the $298 million when he retires.
Yeah, the very last.
So it's
of
like,
his...
what the fucking?
That was Todd Boehly, exactly, Chelsea guy. That's when everyone goes, oh, that's like Chelsea. And I go, you don't realize he owns both. It's him.
Ah,
Todd Boehly owns both.
This all makes sense. Yeah, just, now. Jesus Christ!
He's actually just brought that into the Premiership now and
trying
to get
insane. Likes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing.
Oh well. Do you know what? I say I didn't like it. It's very, very enjoyable.
I liked it more than Remember the Titans in my memory, but I reckon Remember the Titans might be better now. I watched that there and I went, oh great. Remember the Titans might be better. I must watch it.
Like, if it wasn't for the mental Oliver Stone stuff,
yeah, it is.
I'd have enjoyed it a lot more.
To me it was like
an MTV video doing an NFL game.
Yes. I mean, they also filmed some of them stadiums were not actual stadiums because they didn't have like stands.
I was
like they obviously shot one way.
But also the actual scenes of them playing American football were class.
Yeah, they were really good.
Like that's as realistic as I've seen American football.
Yeah, that was good.
And some of the hits that they showed, like you're like Jesus Christ, you can like the noise.
Yeah, yeah.
You can feel them. Like,
see all the rugby players trying it now. Like, you know, your man's dropped out of the wheel squad.
Yeah,
Louis Zammit.
Oh, he's gone. Yeah, he's gone to NFL. Yeah.
Well, it's a program. Only like one person's actually made it through, and that's that Eagles tackle used to play rugby, like for whoever, right? My Latta or something like that. And they were just asking him, I just saw it this morning. He's like, "Whoa, what's the more physical sport? Like professional rugby or NFL?" And he's like, "Rugby's not even fucking close." He goes, and then he started laughing. He goes, "The pads do none." I was laughing. He goes, "It's just different. It's more controlled, the rugby, there's obviously brutal hits. But he's like, it's not like getting a helmet into your sternum. It's not
Jesus Christ.
It's high tackles. It's not, they're controlled around the waist and you're wrapping down. This is, you can take your legs, take your head."
Aye.
He's like, "That's."
Can you clothesline someone in NFL? No, not you can't really. Clothesline somebody. No.
You'd have to hit them in some sort of way. Trying to protect people now.
Could you RKO someone? You tombstone someone.
That will just be done for
5-star frog splash.
Unnecessary roughness.
Figure four leg lock in the end zone.
Fucking Steelers Browns game. The boy pulled his helmet. He pulled Mason Rudolph's helmet off and started beating him with.
Yeah.
That's like a weapon. Like,
beating him with a helmet.
It's a Commonwealth bitch. He pulled his helmet off and started fucking.
That's amazing. Right.
That's about it. What's the next film?
Next film, right. So I feel we've had some pretty good films.
We started off.
Off of the 2024.
That worries me the way you said that.
Yeah, it should.
I don't know.
Because next week we are doing The Notebook.
Oh, no.
With Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams.
Oh, fucking excellent. The Notebook. I'm so happy.
Behind every great love is a great story, Ryan. I've never seen this.
I have.
I am massively looking forward.
I cannot wait to, because I only remember one scene, and the scene I remember is going to make both of us, it's going to be the whole episode.
I'm massively, massively looking forward to this.
That's a great choice.
Because
that's a change up.
Oh, Jesus. So yeah, The Notebook next week. Yep, keep spreading the word all about the cuts. And once this goes out, I will be starting my tour that very Thursday. So if you hear this on the Wednesday, then I imagine there will still be tickets left to come and see me on the Friday, at the Limelight in Belfast, and then Coughlin's in Cork on the Saturday, and then Whelan's in Dublin on the Sunday, and then I'll fill in the rest of my, tell you what, if you, oh no, I don't have my phone on me, and then I'm like Manchester the week after that, and
yeah.
Birmingham, Northallerton, Barnard Castle, I'll fill it all in, they're all on the description anyway.
Well, I was meant to be going from Denver to basically Perth to Adelaide, but Perth's not happening now, so I do have like 10 days in between now.
All right.
So I've now got 10 days in between, only got the fucking stuff today. So like I have now got like 10 days in between Denver and Adelaide, so that's going to be good.
Are you coming back here?
So I'm coming back now for 10 days between Denver thing. So I'll be away from like February 13th to March 19th, I think it is, or 18th.
Yeah. So if you, if you're in Denver, go and see Ryan.
Yeah, if you're in Australia.
Representing Scotland.
Roast Battle Scotland. God, I had to, so many people.
It was fucking sick when I saw it. It was like Ryan Collins
representing Scotland. And then how he pitched the Adelaide thing, and it's best of the fest, and has a Union Jack in the back. And I'm like, it's a nightmare. So it was like Union Jack and that poster representing Scotland. I was like, if Eugene sees any of these.
Oh, yes. Lovely. So join us next week for The Notebook. And just remember, before we go, my name is Willie Beeman. I got the ladies. They're going to be creaming. I got my iron. It is steaming. And my car is at the gleaming.
It's in half, actually, Willie.
And there's my coffee. I put the cream in. Are you asleep, Willie? No, I'm dreaming. See you next week.